Welcome back. Colin here in Greenwald in BC.
Lindsay Smith.
Today we're going to talk about how it works, what our process is like. So, we thought it might be entertaining to know how what your expectations are if you reach out to us, how you reach out to us and what our process looks like. Everybody wants a project. It might be different. It might be a bathroom. It might be a house, etc. So I thought we're going to tell you how that works. So first, how are you going to get a hold of us?
Your first line of contact is usually either you send us a phone call. Our phone number is 989-772-2202. Or some people reach out via email, Facebook Messenger. If you go to our website, you can do an inquiry on there.
Greenwaldbc.com.
Yes.
And all of our emails are really Colin at greenwaldbc.com, Lindsay at greenwaldbc.com, etc.
Very easy. Easy for anyone to remember. That's why we have to keep it that way. We have some people here.
So first, they contact us. However right. They contact us, whatever is best for you. I would say the thing that we're the worst at is Facebook.
Yes.
Believe it or not, we don't play on Facebook all day. We're actually working.
Right.
So
most of our leads come via phone call. And when you call our line, there will be an automated message that says, like, thank you for calling Greenwald in BC. And then you'll go through the options. You'll get the office manager, you'll get me, Colin, Eric, Chad, Preston. So you can really usually click any of those and they can direct you wherever. But usually the first, my mom, Amy, she's the manager and our office manager. And then myself are the first two that you can click there. We're always in the office, always going to answer the phone. So that's usually the start. And we'll take down your information and tell you a project manager will call you back shortly. Or you'll talk to one of the project managers first and they'll ask if you have 15 minutes to talk about your project. And then they will take down your information and also get back to you when they have a moment to come out and see your
project. So why would we have a different project manager? How do we assign a project?
Well, it all depends on the type of project. So Chad does all of our smaller residential projects, so windows, sidings, doors, decks.
So I call and I want a roof. You're going to give me to Chad?
Most likely, unless Chad has a lot on his plate. Colin and Eric do roofs sometimes as well.
Yeah, we all can do everything, right? But we have our specialists.
Yes,
right.
So when you call, you'll probably know at that point who's going to call you back. We will say, okay, yep, we'll pass your project, your information on. It's most likely going to be Chad or it's most likely going to be Eric who's going to give you a call. And then from there, they'll give you a call. And at that point, we get the most basic information. What is your project? Have you built before? What is your expectations for this project? What do you want to spend? And I know not everyone's honest about that at the front, but it's just we have to ask that just because we need to get a feel of if we're going to be the right fit, because we're not always the cheapest and we're not always the most expensive. But if
we're always real, though, that's the important part. We're always real.
Yes.
So you call, we figure out which one of our project managers is best suited for this project, both with our ability schedule. One of us should get back with you reasonably soon. And our reasonable and somebody else's reasonable might be different because we take a dedication to the people who have signed work with us first and people who might want work with us second. Not that we don't appreciate the next incoming customer, but once we've made our schedule up, we kind of stick to who we owe. Made promises to first.
Well, in the time of year also depends on when you get a call back. If you call midsummer, and we might even tell you at that first phone call, listen, it's going to be 3 to 6 months possibly if it's a busy summer before we get to your project. Not saying we won't start that conversation, but just so you know, it's going to be a slower move on that particular project.
So when you call, our workflow is not as evident to everybody. And so they don't know. Sometimes they're like, hey, it is literally November 14th and I'd like a bathroom done before Christmas. It's impossible. Right now it's impossible. We're booked beyond that, but you never know. Sometimes you might call and we have the opportunity. So, being truthful up front about that is important. We always like to say yes. We probably need to say no more often.
Yes.
But that's where it starts. So second is we're going to have a good conversation on the phone. So what are these project managers going to call back and get more information, a lot more information? What do you know about building? What's your expectation? What is your budget? What is your time frame? Have you got your plans designed? What do you know about selections? More details. Do you know you have permission to build it? Does zoning allow this? And usually that's when people are like, well, I just want it, right? And it's like, oh, okay. So if we believe that you are our ideal client and we're a good fit and the timing works and those things are all good, then one of us is going to visit your site. Now, some of those questions don't need to be asked. It's like, I want a roof. Why do you want a roof? Water's coming through my living room ceiling. You need a roof. All right. So we get somebody there and we measure your house and we talk to you about it. But if it's like an addition, it's like, well, do you have permission to build it? Does it, you know, in those cases, we're going to need to visit. We're going to come to the site. We're going to talk a lot. We're going to probably, most often, we're going to propose a budget. We're going to go back to our office and we're going to rough in a budget. And we're going to say, you know, for a 16 by 24 addition or for a 1,000 square foot addition or whatever, we rough in a budget and we say, we think you are X, whatever it is. Let's say $250,000. And the reason we do that is not a binding agreement or anything, but we just want to make sure people are planning with the proper expectations in mind.
And that's very important in this day and age with the price of materials. And I mean, building costs can be outrageous right now. And some people call in and it's a complete shock. And they, well, we can't do that right now. Or some people aren't even fazed by it. But that gives us the feel for the person. And then our project managers aren't spending the amount of hours that it takes to give them a true proposal at that point. They have a rough estimate and they say, okay, we're going to move forward with it. And then, okay, then our project managers will invest the time needed into your project.
Yeah.
And Colin, how roughly, what percentage would you say, like how close are those budgets usually to the actual proposal?
If we've had enough conversation to know the expectations of the owners and the owners are being honest with us, we're within 10%. If those conditions are met. So we track those budgets, by the way, to make sure we are giving realistic budgets. But a lot of people, you're right, they just don't know. When you go to a car dealership, there's stickers on the window and it says the SLE models this and the whatever models that. And you can walk around and get your sticker shock and complain and grumble and no one knows about it. And eventually you sit down, you find out what your payment is, which one you can afford, what color you like. In our business, it's not so cut and dry. So we might tell you, hey, you know, the average kitchen starts at $50,000 and goes to $150,000. You can panic some people really quick. And they're like, I just wanted some cabinets. It's like, oh, well, we're giving you numbers that are real, that are, you're going to get a new floor and you're going to get new appliances and probably your plumbing's a little old and we're going to need some new electric because we're required to have at least two circuits and then your microwave gets a circuit. We're pricing that in and we're making sure that when we start to plan this with you, that you know what the expectations are. That's step two. Mm-hmm. Step three is, depending on the complexity of the project, if it's just a roof, if it's just a smaller deck siding, we're going to go back. We're going to put a real proposal together. We're going to find out exactly what you want, what kind of sidings you want, what kind of windows you want, what kind of deck material. We're going to put the proposal together, make a written proposal. Usually get those to either in person or by email, depending on whatever's best. So that's like Chad's jobs, the simpler, clean cut, not a lot of discussion. The discussion is what color of shingle do you want, right? And how fast do you need it? Second is if we have a complicated thing, like say a new house or an addition or something, it's like, okay, we need to move into the planning and budgeting phase. So we sign a simple 1 or 2 page agreement and it basically says you're going to cover our costs for the period of time we're doing design work. So if we engage an architect or if you engage your own, or if we start contacting zoning administrators to find out zoning requirements, if we need to do site surveys to stake the lot corners to make sure the requirements, a lot of times additions, we have to find out what's the condition of the septic tank, when's the last time it was pumped, what's the condition of the septic field, do we have permission to add an addition, where is that where the addition wants to go, is the well adequate? We do all that homework during what we call a planning and budgeting phase or a pre-construction services contract. Is that expensive? Well, I mean, doing your homework is not expensive if it saves you money later and it doesn't get you into a position later, but it does cost some money up front.
And that's all factored into your final. I mean, it's you budget for that in your budget numbers, correct?
But it's better to know early than late. So we start that in the pre-construction services so that there's less surprises during the build.
Right? And that's also to save our butts too, because we've had clients in the past who we get through all this planning and budgeting and soil erosion and all of that, and then they decide, oh, we've decided we're not going to. Well, then at least we're not out that time, and well, we're out the time, but at least we got compensated for some of what we
So these performed. Steps are designed to make sure that people have information to either keep going forward or back out at the appropriate time with a lot of emotional investment. Yep. That's what people forget in this business is it's a very emotional thing. So once you've got your heart set on something, you don't want to be disappointed. So this pre-construction services, that's when we find out we've got a number of them open, and those can be as simple as $3,000 worth of expenses. We literally have some going up in the 100,000 yes. range, but
those are massive homes.
Those are massive multi-million dollar homes. We've got interior designers part of it. We got
architects.
Structural design, yep. a lot more. So, and then at the end of that process is when you have your full on proposed budget. We've determined the cabinets you want to use. We've determined the floors you want to use. We know that you want cement board siding. This is a good budget. And we may have a few loose ends, and we call those allowances. But at the end of that process is a contract offer, a written proposal, a written contract. And this is for the bigger jobs. So that when we come back to you, it's actual factual. We've done our homework, and we know that if your budget is $1.7 million, your job can finish at $1.7 million. We didn't tell you $1.5 million, and halfway through it starts getting all these cost overruns. So that our process works pretty well for that. Some people get in a little bit of a hurry, and they're like, I don't want to do all that. I just want to start. It's like, we've learned that this is the best way. Trust me,
you want to do that, because if you don't, then comes change orders. And that's kind of the next process is so from pre-construction to proposal, it's not like you don't hear from us. You're talking to Colin and Eric and Preston and Chad and deciding all of those allowances, or they're getting a feel for you. What do you value in your cabinets? Okay, well, then they know at that point what range you're looking to spend on a cabinet. So then if throughout that process you say, oh, I decided I really want this instead, then that's going to lead to a change order, which then, yes, that's going to change your project cost. But if you allow the adequate time for the proposing, I think it eliminates change orders. To some extent.
To some extent, yes. I don't think it eliminates all building is an emotional process. While you build, what you tell yourself you will be happy with and what you end up being happy with changes over the next 6 months to a year. Our houses take a year to build, a multi-million dollar house. And along the way, you look at a lot of Pinterest, Facebook, et cetera, wherever, social media, and you're like, oh, I got to have it. So the other thing I tell a lot of our clients in this budgeting phase is, can we put a contingency in? Not a contingency that I need to use, but a contingency for yourself that says, like, what if I find something along the way that I absolutely have to have? So we talk about that and the reality of how often that occurs, and it occurs quite often.
And if you don't get that, you get that back, too. If you don't use that contingency,
that's just budgeting to tell people to give themselves some grace during the building process when they show you a $1,500 sink and you just have to have it and you had $300 in your budget, right? It's just some grace for that time that you really want it and you don't want to be disappointed. So.
Well, and when you're in that beginning phase, we just built a house for myself and I you tell yourself at the beginning, I can live without that. I can. But then as you go, you're saying, oh, do I want that farm sink, though? I want that farmhouse sink. And guess what? You end up with that farmhouse sink, even though you told yourself in the beginning you weren't going to get it. So,
and so being honest with yourself up front is very important in that process. So we've done the design. We've done the planning. We've done the budgeting. We're ready for a contract. We offer a written contract.
We should back up a little bit. Okay. So when someone comes to us with an idea of what they want, do we draft it for them, or do we get them in?
We can be a part of the design. We can do in-house design. We can hire contractors that would be architects or just design staff, depending on if you want a full-out architect. If it needs structural engineering, we hire that, et cetera. We can handle all of that. Right. When I say in-house, we are subbing it out to people who are experts at that. But yes. Or once in a while, people show up and they have good plans from a great architect, and we price it and go, right? Mm-hmm. Those people have done homework sometimes before they get they right. get to us.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
No, we are definitely a part of planning and budgeting. And then we move into contracting. Once we're through contracting, if you decide we're the right people, we decide you're the right people, we're going to have a relationship. And I do mean a relationship mm-hmm. because we might work together 6 months before we break ground in a new house. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to build for a year, and then we're going to maintain theoretically for the rest of our lives, you know, a long time if you own this house. I mean, I think in a previous podcast, Lindsay said, you know, we built a home 20-some years ago, and we're there maintaining it, and it was time for a new roof. So we re-roofed it. We want to keep a relationship with people. So when I say we're building for you, we're also building a relationship. So then it's pre-construction phase. Now it's time to pull all the permits. It's time to start talking about logistics of supplies. The last few years, the supply chain's been very disruptive. So it's our job right away to start saying, what do we have to pre-purchase? What do we need to get moving? What do we need to have in the pole barn? What do we need to have on order? You know, what do we need to get going? And then we want to make a smooth transition during your project. Right. A lot of times the projects are the longevity of them is because we're waiting on stuff. So the more we can pre-purchase, the better. And the more answers we know, I think the better quality project you get. Because if you know exactly your kitchen layout, the electricians can put the outlets exactly where you want them.
Right.
So it's important for us to have details very firm. So we move into logistics, material sourcing, and depending on when those are available. And this could be even simple for a bathroom. Like, say we're going to tear a bathroom out of your house. We want to order the vanity and the shower and the faucets and the tile and all that. In theory, it'd be great if we could order it all ahead, have it all here, and then it just takes the 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it takes to do your bathroom. If we're 2 weeks in and then you make a decision and the product's 4 weeks out, now you're no one's coming to your house for a month.
And you're not happy about seeing progress.
And in the last couple of years, we had a few of those, and they were miserable for everybody involved. And I'm not saying it was anybody's fault, just the supply chain's was very disruptive. So
on the plus side, though, the supply chain has been getting better from what it was. It's still not where it was, but it's getting better.
We had a just-in-time manufacturing base that it was just not in time for a while.
It spoiled us. And now we value.
So now we do a lot of upfront work to make sure we have a product.
Yes. Yep.
And then I would say along the way, we collaborate depending on what works for you. And this is both in the planning and budgeting phase, in the design phase, in the pre-construction services, construction service phase, all the contract administration. So maybe you're a remote client. And so maybe we meet by Zoom. Maybe we meet on site, say once a month or something. Maybe we're remodeling in your house. So you know what? Jason or one of the guys is going to see you every morning. I mean, there's different ways for every kind of job. Right. Or maybe ahead of you. So that's probably 6 weeks out. We'll talk to you in a month and give you an update. I mean, we're going to communicate with you based on the needs of your project. We meet in person on the job site frequently. We meet in person at a vendor to select stuff, but we meet in person very rarely at the office.
Right.
I mean, occasionally at the office, but we've gotten very good with remote communication.
Yes.
So.
Mm-hmm. Challenges and solutions. That happens all throughout projects.
So everybody has things they remember from their past and their youth. One of the things that I remember my grandpa said, and my grandpa was in a bit similar business, There's good carpenters and bad carpenters. The only difference is the good carpenters fix their mistakes, right? We're going to make mistakes too.
Yes.
There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be implementation of solutions. There's always going to be something didn't arrive like expected. Something was damaged. We know that. Our job is to remove as many roadblocks and hurdles out of the way to make sure our teams can do their work effectively as quick as possible. So when these hurdles pop up suddenly, our job is to move through those efficiently. And we do. We don't usually sit on our haunches. Our agreements with our clients says that we get paid to do X job, not by the hour. Right. So we want to move just as efficient as the next.
Well, and one thing to add to that, I've seen a lot is some clients will stew on stuff. If you're unhappy with something, let us know because we want to fix it. And stewing on it doesn't only hurt you, it hurts us too. So be upfront, honest.
Don't make mountains out of molehills. Yes, sometimes they're very simple. Sometimes we're not advised. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the client's not advised that, yeah, we identified that and we're on it. Mm-hmm. We need the solution to the products for the solution to arrive or something like that. But yeah, okay. We want everybody to be very, very happy. And then the follow-up afterwards, like, so we close out the job. How do we close out a job? First off, for the last couple of weeks of the job, one of our project managers is going to be walking through and nitpicking as much as possible.
Putting blue tape all over.
Making these punch lists, and guys, you're going back, or ladies, you're going back and fixing all these things. And then eventually we end up with have a client walk through where the clients get the same opportunity to make sure they're fully satisfied with everything. And that closeout phase has really lengthened in my lifetime. It used to be very simple, but our products are so complicated. The lead times on products are so complicated. It's not uncommon for that to be quite a lengthy process.
You hear us cussing out Pinterest quite often around here.
Yeah, but it's important.
It's
nowadays. Important to stick with it. And then the follow up, the warranty side of it is it's like if you buy a diamond ring in a jeweler, they'll always clean it if you walk back in there because they want their stuff to look good. We're the same way. So during that warranty period. We know that over a period of time, if this house moves a little or shifts, weather impacts, humidity, Michigan has a very challenging, it has a dry period, it has a humid period. We might vary 100 degrees in temperature range. So a door might stick. So we ask people to save a few of those things up and then give us an opportunity to come fix them. Let's adjust a couple doors a year later. Let's fix a few nail pops.
Right.
If a tile loosens up, whatever it is, because... we get our next job based on how we treat a client this time, and they tell people about us. We love to advertise, but the fact is word of the mouth is still the best thing, and referrals are the best thing, and repeat business is the best thing. So our job is to make sure that you're fully happy with your job, and then we'll continue to be employed, and that's a good thing.
And we're running out of time, but I wanted to make a quick note on payments, too. When you sign your contract with us, we usually provide a payment schedule if it's a larger job. And a lot of the times those are based on milestones. So we'll say there's 20,000 due once windows are installed. There's this. And then at the end of the project, it'll be reconciled. Some of our smaller projects, it'll just be here's a down payment when we start the project. And then we'll give you a final bill at the end. But I know some people wonder about that is, do I pay at the very end? No, usually we'll do... or up front. We don't make people pay their whole amount up front. We do.
So those are tailored to each project. Yep. So if it's a $3.5 million house, we might end up with like $400,000 monthly payments, you know, or milestone payments or whatever you want to call them. And it's triggers like when the foundation's in, when the framing is in, when the roof is on, when the cabinets are set, whatever, you know, like, and we predictively know when that is. So we know what cash flow we need.
Right.
And a lot of our clients have money, in trust somewhere, and they need the opportunity to move that money in advance so they can be foreseeing when they need to spend that.
Right.
We do a little bit of finance work. That's a little bit different.
That's all ran through the bank. We do.
Yep,
we
through the abstract company. Yep. So, that's how we operate around here. We're a little more complicated, a little more sophisticated than average, but we find it works quite well. Mm-hmm. So... look at that. And that's a 20-minute timer. So that means we are truly out
we
of
are
time,
done.
Lindsay.
So what are we going to talk about next, Colin?
Next, we're going to try to get Preston off of Beaver Island long enough to set him down with his microphones and talk about building at Beaver Island and the logistics and the travel back and forth and how unique it is to work in a remote island 31 miles in the middle of Lake Michigan.
If you didn't listen to our first podcast, Preston is actually vice president. He's co-owner with Colin. They're cousins, and he runs all of our operations on the island. And, yes, he deals with all kinds of struggles that us local builders don't have. And it's actually – maybe you don't want to build on Beaver Island, but it's actually very interesting.
But it's really cool because you get to fly to work.
Right, yeah. So that's what's next week. And like we said first, we'll say it every episode, we want feedback. We want suggestions on what to talk about next. So ways you can contact us, like we gave you our number, 989-772-2202. If you call that, want to give us suggestions, what you want to hear. Facebook, you can message us. You can email us. Like Colin said, all of our emails are
Colin at greenwaldbc.com.
Lindsay at greenwaldbc.com. And then we also, obviously, there will be a YouTube channel, and you can comment on the videos there. But get a hold of us if you want to see something or hear something new, different. Let us know.
Thanks, and as always, appreciate your opportunity to listen to us and ask us anything, and we'll tell you what we know.
Yep.